Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to the Metron Live podcast. Those of you that have just logged on, we're coming to you live from Metron in beautiful, historic Midtown Atlanta, Georgia. Metron people, would you give the podcast people a big welcome? I love podcasts. If those of you who are here today, if you're new to it, you already probably have an app on your smartphone for podcasts. And the great thing about them, they don't cost anything, and they line them up for you. They'll tell you when the next one is. You can archive things. And again, we appreciate Charles for all of his excellent work. And Charles's handle is actually the rock god of podcasting. Y'all didn't know. That's actually his official handle. Y'all have no idea. You come in here, the people you rub shoulders with. We didn't just fall off the truck. That's the rock god of podcasting back there. Y'all better recognize. There's a scripture. Our title this month is "May the Force Be with You," discovering new dimensions of the Holy Spirit in the now. And I mean. Without apology, we just came in and killed some sacred cows this month, because I love the Holy Spirit, and I was raised Pentecostal / charismatic, so our theology was very largely based on at least our interpretation of who the Holy Spirit was. But also, I'm in a place now where I'm not afraid to challenge certain things that just seem. They just don't seem workable to me. Some of the definitions that people came up with for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. When I was a kid, I used to hear these definitions, and I would think, this doesn't make sense to me. And then as my theology kind of evolved, I started noticing other people who didn't have the same terminology that I had would talk about the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. And I could tell they didn't manifest it the way that I was used to, but I could tell they understood spiritual things. Doesn't it mess with your head, with your head, especially at the beginning of your spiritual journey, when you think your group is the only people that you got the inside track, and then you meet some people that aren't like you, and they seem to know more than you know, and you're like, wait, what? What you talking about, Willis? You know, like, what's? How do you know that? You're not supposed to know that. You're not Holy Ghost, and I'm using this, Star Wars has become, it's not just a movie franchise. I mean, it's become so much part of our culture that people quote Star Wars, don't even realize they're quoting Star Wars. They quote things that weren't even said in Star Wars, kind of like people do with the Bible. right, cleanliness is next to godliness. It's right next to God helps those who help themselves in the book of Hezekiah. If you didn't laugh at that, then you apparently don't realize Hezekiah is not a book in the Bible. I used to joke with that, and people start thumbing through their Bibles, and think, I got to stop that. But there is the concept of the Force in Star Wars, in all of the prequels and sequels. It's this energy field that's made up of even people who have gone. They're no longer in this dimension. So much about what we see in the scripture about people who leave here and to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord, they become part of the great cloud of witnesses. I'm not saying people become the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit, the concept of the Holy Spirit is bigger than what you read in the Bible. And it's one of the main reasons why Jesus said, it is necessary for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, you won't have this revelation of the Holy Spirit. See, I believe when Jesus said, I'm coming back soon, I think he did come back. I think he came back 10 days later on the day of Pentecost and was revealed as the Spirit of God. Because when he said, it's necessary that I go away, what he was implying is, as long as I am in this fleshly incarnation, you're going to see God as a man, you're going to see him as finite, you're going to see him as having an ethnicity, and he said, you've got to have a bigger revelation of God than that, and that's why I'm going to show you actually from Acts 2 how many different people groups were there in Jerusalem when God was manifested, according to the Judeo-Christian theology, as the Holy Spirit. But then you start meeting people from other faith disciplines, and they know about the Spirit of God. I mean, they know the Holy Spirit. And you start understanding why Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away. I mean, it's one of the most astounding things Jesus ever said, because prophets prophesied for centuries that he was coming, and he virtually walks in the door saying, I got to go. There's more to God than me. But then because we were legalistic, we came up with these definitions of the Holy Spirit. Well, he's not an it, he's a he, all right? Well, then is he God? Yes, he's God. He's the third person of the Trinity. Do we worship him? Oh, no, you don't worship him. Well, then you just told me he was God. And furthermore, if your concept of a Trinity, if it's a father and a son, where's the mama? How come there's no mama in this? And it's because patriarchal people, they weren't totally wrong, but because they lived in a patriarchal world where women were not even considered human beings, their revelation of God was that God was male. And so that's why we need some of these other religions that did talk about goddesses, and that's where they gave divinity to females, because the Jews and the Christians, not so much. I mean, even in the New Testament, you see every man's name. There's Philip and Bartholomew and Peter and James and John. Not the women. It's the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, the woman with the issue of blood. And like, women were just nearly nameless. And so I believe we're coming into a place now where that's becoming more harmonized, where we understand that God is as female as he, she, it is male, and that nobody's trying to take away your comfort zone, but there's some things that need to be challenged. Let me just go ahead and get my, I don't want to call it controversial, let me go ahead and get my provocative point out of the way first, shall we? I was thinking about this, reading some of the things that Christians, that a lot of, especially white evangelical Christians, believe about the current administration. This is not a political statement. If you're conservative, I understand where you're coming from. If you believe in small government, a strong military, lower taxes, I have no issue with that. I see your point. I'm glad we have a two-system government. What is odd to me is how people read so much significance into the current president as if he's some fulfillment of prophecy. That is problematic to me. And I was reading some things. I mean, because people are having visions of Donald Trump at the right hand of God and stuff like that. I'm thinking, look, I liked Barack Obama, but I didn't think he was at the right hand of God. You know what I mean? I thought, well, he got elected because people voted for him and he ran a good campaign. I thought, why is it that so many of these evangelicals are so susceptible to conspiracy theories? And it occurred to me, a whole bunch of evangelical Christianity is a conspiracy theory. I mean, it's people who think this devil is out there wreaking havoc with them. When you're not used to, like, I told you this, I went fishing, deep sea fishing with some guys from my dad's church several years ago, and sweet guys, nice guys, you know, just real genuine, good Christian boys. And I hadn't been around this kind of talk in so long, it kept striking my ear how much they talked about the enemy. Well, the enemy knows this. It's like, I never heard them say the name of Jesus once, but enemy this, enemy that, enemy this. I mean, they were so devil conscious that whatever happened, well, the enemy knows in these last days that people's hearts are turning away. And I think, wow, you really are living in this mentality. And I understand it because I grew up with it, that it's the end of the world. Can I just really shock you here? The Bible doesn't really talk about the end of the world. Talks about the end of an age. And when Jesus talked about the end of an age, he was talking about the end of the Mosaic laws. You know, in Matthew 24, when he says, this temple's going to be destroyed and there's some of you standing here that will see it happen, he was talking literally, because it did happen. That would have been about 33 A.D. that he said that. And that did happen in, what, 50 A.D.? 70 A.D. So it was feasible that there were... It's not rocket science. He wasn't He wasn't talking about the end of the world. And, you know, I grew up, you know, believing the rapture was going to take place at any moment. And I used to get up in the middle of the night and go fill in my parents' bed to make sure they were still there. You know, because we lived in that. We always thought the Christians were going to disappear. And I remember prophecy preachers used to come to our church and talk about there was this big computer system that was in Brussels, Belgium called the Beast. And that was back in the late 60s when UNIVAC first came out. And that, you know, those big computers would fill up an entire floor of a high rise. Now your smartphone does more than UNIVAC did. But they would talk about this beast. The beast is in Belgium. It's got everybody's name on it. And I used to scare the bejesus out of me when I was a kid. I was scared of the devil. I was scared of missing the rapture. Don't even get me started. If Jesus knows I'm gay, that's really good. There's a, you know, what am I going to do about that? I'm hoping the rapture does take place soon so I can get out of here and Jesus will fix me. And, you know, and the communists are taking over. And it's just like it was so conspiracy-oriented. There's always something going on. And even this week, somebody posted an Assembly of God preacher that I know. I mean, he used to come preach at my dad's church. He was leading people praying in the spirit for Donald Trump because witchcraft is in, you know, witchcraft is trying to take over. And I thought, wow, you really, why can't you just make it about politics? If you've got a good political agenda, then make your point and we'll hear you out. I might vote for you even if you're not part of my party. Let me hear what you have to say. You might, you know, I do believe in a two-party system, but don't over-spiritualize it and say, well, God sets up one, puts down another. He was talking about the kings of Israel, not about people in an American election. You know, I love Americans, but there's a lot of Americans that think that God's an American, and when they go to heaven, there's going to be Old Glory's going to be flying. Like, you know God's not an American. Don't get your patriotism twisted with your spirituality. Now, why am I saying that? Because this scripture I'm about to show you, well, let me just show it to you. It's Joel. It's the prophet Joel. And this is chapter 2, 28 in the Message. He says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Now, when you read it in the King James, it says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So, I was raised to believe that before Jesus came back, there would be this great outpouring of the Spirit where the Spirit of God would be on everybody. Which also, and you know, my mind was always way too analytical because I used to, when people would preach this, I'm going to show it to you in some other translations, I would think, well, if the Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh, then how come so many people are going to go to hell then? Because you're telling me that the majority of humanity's lost and is going to hell, and if every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord, when's that going to happen? And people used to tell me, well, even the people in hell are going to have to come out and confess Jesus is Lord. I'm like, I wouldn't do it. If I was in hell and I'm already in hell and you said I got to come up and confess Jesus, I'd be like, hell no, I'm not going to do it. I'm already in hell. Is it going to get me out? Is it going to get me out of hell? Because if not, I'm not doing it. He's burning me in eternity, but just because he's so insecure, he's got to hear me say it. He's going to force me down. Jesus is Lord. No, 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 no. I'm not going to say it. So what happens is you have all these different, the Bible, for the last time, the Bible is not a book. Remember, when I'm 120 years old and I'm finally going to the other side, I may make it to 125, but when my last words are going to be, the Bible's not a book. Read it in context. What were his last words? The Bible's not a book. Because what happens is, when you have all these different authors who wrote different things in different times in history for different purposes to different people groups, and then you sew it all together and try to make it this homogenous, monolithic book, you create this Frankenstein monster of all kinds of things. Is the Bible full of contradictions? Yes, of course, it's supposed to be. One scripture says, wine is a mocker. And if you've ever been drunk, pulled over for a DUI, you're like, oh, yeah, wine's a mocker. But you can't build a doctrine out of it because there's other scripture that says, give wine to him who is of a heavy heart. Which is it? Well, it depends. Is your heart heavy? I'll buy you a drink. If I think you've had enough, I'm cutting you off saying wine is a mocker. Which is it? You need the right thing for the right time. You know, Peter says, women, if you're married to an unbeliever, you can save her by your you can save him by your godly lifestyle. Paul says just the opposite. Paul says, if you're married to an unbeliever, let him go. You have no guarantee you can save your husband anyway. I remember he's not even there now, but the pastor of First Baptist in Covington took me to lunch one day. I used to live next door to his church. And I thought, what's this about? He actually was just being a nice guy and meeting me or whatever. And we were talking. He said, well, the Bible doesn't have any contradictions. I said, well, yeah, it's kind of full of them. And he said, like what? And so I mentioned that. He said, that's not in the Bible. And I didn't want to argue with him because he's buying my lunch. But I was like, 2 Corinthians 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I kept wanting to email it to him later, and I was like, no, that's just gonna look arrogant. But the point is, one scripture says, consider the ant, how she lays up food for the winter. So there's a whole concept there about prepare for your future and put some money aside or whatever. Jesus comes along and says, take no thought for tomorrow, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Which is it? Well, it depends. Sometimes when you haven't planned well enough, you may need a little consider the ant. Sometimes when you're stressing about it too much, you need a little seek first the kingdom of God and all this will be added to you. So the contradiction is not a negative, but also you have to learn how to rightly divide. Yeah, that's going to be the third thing. After I flatline, then I'll come back and go, oh, and rightly divide it too. rightly divide, I mean, I love crab legs. I don't order them that often because it's kind of a lot of work. It's usually when I go to the beach and we're at a place, you know what I mean? Because you just don't say, oh, crab legs and chomp down on them. There's a whole bunch of, there's a lot of division. As a matter of fact, you get a pile of bone or a shell that's higher than the little bit of meat that you get. You got to really love crab legs because you got to work for them. And that's really the way the scripture is. Like when somebody says, is the Bible the word of God? I say, well, it's in there. It's all in there. You just have to know how to rightly divide it. Because there's some things that you can see Paul said or whatever. You think, nah, that really came more from his perception of things and his limited understanding. But the truth of it is eternal. So when Joel says here, he gives this prophecy, and all of chapter 2 is a beautiful prophecy. It's about he'll restore to you the years that the canker made away and all these great things. But the focal point is verse 28. Everybody's going to get the Spirit. Let me show it to you in the International Standard Version. It says, then it will come about at a later time. Now, when you get into these better translations, they don't use the word last days. He says, at a later time, I will pour out my Spirit on American Christians who pray sinner's prayer at Billy Graham crusades. Is that not what it says? It says, I'll pour out my Spirit on every person. Now, let me show you in the book of Acts. No. Let me show you one more time. This is verse 28 and 29 in The Voice. This is another great translation. It says, then in those days I will pour my Spirit to all humanity. Your children will boldly and prophetically speak the word of God. Your elders will dream dreams. Your young warriors will see visions. No one will be left out. In those days I will offer my Spirit to all servants, both male and female. You have to understand, this was a radical departure from a culture that really didn't think women were a part of the spirit world. I mean, the very fact that even to this day, somebody will say, well, she gave him a son. No, she didn't. You have 46 chromosomes. Is that right? And it's 23 from your bio father, 23 from your bio mom. You are physically one half of your biological parents. But that's not what the ancients believed. They believed that a man's seed was literally seed, and that women were the ground, like planting a seed in the ground, and a woman gave birth. Now we understand, I have some different age groups in here, so I'll be careful how I say this. Now we understand biologically what we thought was the seed is not the seed. I mean, really, if you're going to make a case for the seed, a woman's eggs are more like the seed than a man's. Well, exactly. I wasn't going to say it, but that'll bring men down a peg or two, and they think, my seed, no, you're just a bag of fertilizer. Just like, keep it in perspective. But it's because people have misinterpreted things that the ancients believed that if they were in modern times, they would say, no, we were walking in the light that we had at that time. You should be more evolved by now without throwing away these ancient things that we said, because there's some ancient things that are true. When you stood out on that beach in St. Simon's, those waves have been coming in there for millions of years. That's ancient wisdom. You just tapped into what that ocean's been saying, you know, centuries before you got here. Now, let me show you, on the day of Pentecost, this is very interesting because Peter, you know, he just, he didn't stop and think. He was, you know, remember Jesus got arrested, he's the one that cut off Malchus's ear. He's the one that was cursing and saying he'd never seen Jesus. But he was also the first one, when he saw Jesus on the beach after the resurrection, he's the one that jumped out of the boat and said, oh, it's the Lord. I mean, it worked. What works against you works for you, if you understand your personality. And Peter could say some really crazy stuff, but he could have, like when you go over to chapter 18 of Matthew, Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Peter's the one that says, I say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon, son of Jonah, but my Father is in heaven. So Peter's like, Well, you just read a few verses down. Jesus says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. And Peter immediately speaks up. No, we'll never let that happen to you. What does Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine? If I was Peter, I'd be like, seriously? 10 minutes ago, you were saying my revelation, the church is going to be built on my revelation, that flesh and blood had not revealed this to me, and now I'm Satan? Really? Satan? You had to go there. I mean, I was just Mr. Revelation, and 5 verses later, Satan. Wow, Jesus. But my point is, that thing in him that caused him to put his foot in his mouth on occasion was also the thing that the Spirit of God used, because let me tell you, and let she who has an ear hear, there are some things the Spirit quickens you to do that if you overthink it, you will not do it. Now, that's not true about every situation, but there's sometimes when you know it's the Spirit of God, you just move on it, act on it, say it, do it, and figure it out later. And again, I'm not saying make all of your decisions spontaneously like that, but if it's prompted by the Spirit, spontaneity is what you need. I mean, the times that I've been used the most powerfully in prophetic words is when I just said something and I thought, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm just going to say it. And it would be the Word of God. I was talking to Rutherford about this the other day, and he was telling me a story about somewhere he was, and a woman was hanging up pink curtains. And he said, without even thinking, I just looked at her, and he said, even if you decorate this room, your daughter's not going to come back and live here. And he said, the woman burst into tears. She said, why did you say that? Because that was exactly what happened. He said, I just said it, and I did. He said, if I'd thought it, I would have thought that I would have talked myself out of it. Now, I'm not telling you just to go shoot your mouth off at everybody that you come across, because somebody's going to, somebody could shoot you back with something else. But I'm saying that this about Peter because, I mean, the men that Jesus chose as his staff were not theologians. There's not one of those 12 that was learned in the scriptures. One was a hated tax collector. One was like a terrorist. Simon the Zealot, I mean, he joined Jesus' band because he believed that Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman government. And the other ones were like fishermen. Some of them were his first cousins. I mean, he chose all the wrong people. Like, Jesus didn't go to a yeshiva school and say, tell me who's the most learned of these men. Because let me tell you something. Sometimes all your learning can work against you. Just in the time we've been together, Ken grew up in the Methodist church, but it was, you know, he wasn't that engaged. He's mostly there because his mom played the piano there. But he has said some things to me. So I don't know the scriptures like you do, but I believe this, and I'm like, wow, that's the word of God. You don't need chapter and verse for what you just said, because you tapped into something very profound and organic that you might not have gotten if you had to deprogram. I think we said this last night. Like, there's some of the crazy stuff that some of us went through in church world that we've had to deprogram. And still, I mean, I got to tell you, when I posted, may the force be with you, there's still just the tiniest little bit of something that says, you sure that's talking about the Holy Ghost? And I'm like, yes, because I know that's not God saying that to me. That's my tradition. So on the day of Pentecost, well, let me show you. This is out of the Passion Translation. This is Acts 2, verses 5 through 18. Now, at that time, there were Jewish worshipers who had immigrated from many different lands to live in Jerusalem. When the people of the city heard the roaring sound, remember the day of Pentecost, there was a sound from heaven? It sounded like a sonic boom. It says, crowds came running to where it was coming from, stunned over what was happening, because each one could hear the disciples speaking in his or her own language. Bewildered, they said to one another, aren't these all Galileans? So how is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages? We are northeastern Iranians, northwestern Iranians, Elamites, and those from Mesopotamia, Judea, east central Turkey, the coastal areas of the Black Sea, Asia, north central Turkey, southern Turkey, Egypt, Libyans who are neighbors of Cyrene, visitors from all over the Roman Empire, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Let me stop right there. Do you see why Jesus said it's necessary that I go away? When he was Jesus, it was just Jewish people listening to him. These were people who were Jewish converts, who were Africans, who were Europeans. When he says people up at the Black Sea, that's like Russia. They were Europeans, they were Asians, they were Middle Eastern, Arabs. And so we already see the fulfillment of Jesus, why Jesus said, I have to take the finite box off of the concept of the I am. There is something higher than saying I am Jesus, and it's saying I am. And no disrespect to Jesus. I love Jesus. I've given my life to talking about Jesus. But I also know even Jesus isn't Jesus now. John said, when I saw him, he wasn't called Jesus. He was called the Word of God. He had a name written on him that nobody knew but he himself. Now, this is amazing that Peter is not a theologian and somehow he connects these dots. I'm surprised Peter ever even read Joel's prophecy. Because usually it would have only been learned men who had, because women weren't even allowed to go to school then. These would have been learned men who were trained in the law and prophets. Peter's a fisherman. And look what he says. It says, yet we hear them speaking of God's mighty wonders in our own dialects. They all stood there dumbfounded and astonished, saying to one another, what is this phenomenon? But others poked fun at them, saying, they're just drunk on new wine. Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. you need to clearly understand what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel. What did Joel say? The Spirit's going to be poured out on everybody. How did Peter... What? How did Peter know that? I dare say Peter only knew his homies. You know, that's why I've said for years, the greatest antidote to bigotry is travel. I've never met a well-traveled bigot, because the more you see other cultures, other neighborhoods, the way other people think, this is what happens. There's an arc of first realizing how different everybody is, but then the more you get to know people, you realize, wow, everybody really is much more alike than they are different. But you don't know that if you only see your peeps, because then you think, well, we're like this, but they're like that. Travel is so important, and meeting people of other cultures and dialoguing with other people, and not just, and even other theological, like, I was always taught, you don't talk to people that don't believe like you, because they'll compromise the gospel. But then when I started talking to people, I would think, oh, well, we agree with more stuff than we disagree with. I was always taught you're a cult. How do you know that? I mean, I couldn't believe Baptists knew about that. Y'all don't know about the Holy Spirit? Y'all don't speak in tongues? What are you talking about? We only know that. I'd be shocked. My first kind of serious girlfriend, yes, I had girlfriends. She was Baptist, and she knew the Bible way better than I did. But when I told her about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, she starts arguing with me about it. I'm like, what? What? I don't know all that. I just know you're supposed to go to the altar and people lay hands on you, talk in tongues. I had to bring my A game. Thank God. I had to go bone up on some scriptures. Like, what's she talking about? I never saw that in there. Because we were, you know, that wasn't really high priority with us. We were much more about, you know, feeling it. Feel the Spirit. And that's good, but that's not all of it. Peter somehow makes this connection, and he says, through the prophet Joel, for God says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my Spirit on everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. That's amazing. How did Peter know that? Because when you go back and read Joel chapter 2, he doesn't talk about people speaking in tongues. He talks about signs in the heavens, and he says the moon will turn to blood and all this kind of stuff. And yet Peter rightly divided the word, and what he understood was that God started it all and God's going to finish it all. Whatever your definition of God is, you came out of God, you're going to end up in God. Some people say to me, well, I just don't feel like I can come to church because I'm not living right. That's ridiculous thinking. God doesn't care. It's amazing the stuff that people put on God. Like, God don't like when women dress like that. You don't know. How do you know? Well, I just know God don't like it. Really? Wow. I've been speaking for God my entire life, and I'm more cautious about saying God said something than I ever was. In my early days, I was, God said this, God said this, God. Now I'm like, I feel strongly impressed. This is real strong in my spirit. But when people are just so glibly, God don't like this, God, I'm like, how do you know? Are you God's personal spokesperson? On behalf of God, I've come to tell you what what they don't like. What is it, the Anne Lamott quote? You can pretty well discern or come to the conclusion that when God hates all the same people you hate, that you've created God in your own image. All right. I know y'all are cold. Warm it up in here. Y'all look at me like... Y'all start looking hysterical. Well, that's what I think. But Your alternative is muggy. Really? You want muggy over cold? All right. Now, this is what's interesting. Here's really what I want to leave you with. You can have a revelation of something in your spirit years before your mind understands it. So Peter gets up and he says this amazing thing. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. That in the days of fulfillment or at a later time. Some of the translations say last days. But the Greek more accurately says at a later time. I will pour out my spirit on everybody. But even Peter didn't fully believe that. Because when you go, I could take you through all these scriptures, but I'm just going to talk you through it real quick. After the day of Pentecost, Peter and John especially, they start going around laying hands on people. Like in the 8th chapter, there's this great revival in, is it Samaria? Or what? I can't remember where it is exactly, but it's where, remember where Simon the sorcerer is, and he wants to buy the power to give them the Holy Spirit. So there, and you know, over there in chapter 3 is where they're at the beautiful gate, and the man comes up and asks them for money, and they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, and the man gets healed. So these guys are, amazing stuff's happening. I mean, one of the verses says that even when Peter's shadow would pass people, they would be healed. So these, you know, it's called the Acts of the Apostles because they were active. They were doing things. But then we get to chapter 10, and it's the story of a man named Cornelius who was not Jewish. He didn't grow up under Moses' law. He didn't read the Torah. It just says he was just a good man who was very generous and gave a lot of money. And he has this vision that these men are going to come show him a better way. Meanwhile, the Spirit of God speaks to Peter and he says, we want you to go down to, is it Joppa, I believe? We want you to go to this man's house. Well, Peter had this great revelation. He's pouring out his spirit on everybody, but he really didn't think it meant Gentiles. Because at this particular time, the Jews were taught, you don't fraternize with people that are not part of the covenant. You just don't. Don't be unequally yoked. So, you know, in chapter 10, it's hard to appreciate this if you weren't raised with dietary laws. But if you were raised, if you were Muslim or Seventh-day Adventist, and you probably heard a lot of people talk about not eating pork and stuff like that. See, the kind of Pentecostal I was raised in, we thought everything was a sin but food. That's why all those Church of God preachers were, you know, weighed 400 pounds. Because we didn't believe women should wear pants, but we could eat some pork. Don't you mess with my food. And but for people who were raised kosher, it was an issue. And I'll tell you this, even now, if you are in a relationship with someone who eats entirely differently from you, you're going to have problems in your relationship. Or you're going to have to figure out a way around it. Because if you want to eat healthy and they want to hang out at McDonald's all the time, I don't know what you're going to do. You have to drop them off. You know, Stephen, my trainer, he said, so he didn't remember, he'd be surprised some of the things he says that stays with me. But I told him one day, we had gone one night to get some, I wanted snacks. We went to McDonald's, I got some oatmeal. He said, I wouldn't eat anything from McDonald's. I wouldn't even get water from McDonald's. I was like, every time I drive by McDonald's now, I think, I can't even get water there now. Like, you made your point. I mean, the idea, I'm not going to get up here and say I'll never eat a Big Mac again, but right now I cannot imagine trying to push a Big Mac through my system now. That just seems like, oh my God. But I needed a strong statement, like, I can't even get water there. What are we going to do? So even now, you know, even if it's not about your belief, just the way you eat. I mean, you eat all the time. Everybody eats all the time. So if you're with somebody, they need to at least be able to find something at the restaurant that they can eat Ken doesn't like sushi, but he figures out stuff on the menu. He does like edamame. We'll get some edamame, and he'll get something. And we figure out a way. Because I'm going to have to get a California roll or something. Once in a while. Come on, I already can't get water at McDonald's. Let me get a little tuna tataki. So, in the 10th chapter of Acts, it starts telling you about this deal that's going on with Cornelius, but then it shows you what's happening with Peter. It's showing you two scenarios. And so, they're at this house, and the Spirit of God says to Peter, I want you to go down and minister in this particular region. And Peter's like, I'm not going down there. There's a bunch of Gentiles down there. So he goes up. This is the people at this time had like terraces on their roof. So he goes up while somebody's preparing dinner. He goes up to take a nap before dinner, and he has this vision. In the vision, I'm not making this up. This sounds crazy, but it's Acts chapter 10. Look it up. This sheet comes down out of heaven that's full of all these non-kosher foods. That God says to Peter, I want you to go slay and eat all these things. Now, let me explain to you, as I have explained before. This would be like a Southern Baptist preacher seeing Jesus come out of heaven with like a woman preacher wearing pants who'd been divorced and remarried, speaking in tongues. It would punch all of his buttons. And then God says, this is who I want you to come preach a revival at your church. You know, we've all been, I remember, I was raised to believe, you smoke cigarettes, you're going to hell. I mean, cigarettes was hell. I didn't even know anybody that smoked. So when I became charismatic, the charismatics didn't have a problem with smoking. The ones that I met. I remember being out in California with all these pastors at a Kenneth Copeland thing, and we were in between sessions, and I was out by the pool, some of them out by the pool, and they're all like, hey, man, how's church doing? And they're just like smoking. I mean, I thought my head was going to explode. I'm like, what? And they're like, well, something they wanted to pray about. Let's just pray right now. And they joined hands, speaking in tongues with cigarette breath. I thought, call 911. That's got to be a demon. There is no way you could be speaking in tongues smelling like a Marlboro. Ain't no way. But we've all been taught certain things. My grandmother Swilly, she didn't believe women piercing their ears. And when she used to come to, after our church became more charismatic, she just could not get her head around that women with earrings could give messages in tongues. Like she just thought that was the most astounding thing. Like she would just look at him like, how do you do that? Because you're not holy. You know, because we were taught holy women were holiness, and they didn't. She's got on pants and she's prophesying. So we've all been taught these different things that God never cared about at all. But they're programmed into our hard drive. To this day, I've never tasted a beer. If you're setting up tequila shots, get it. I don't have a problem with it. But somehow, with a designated driver, I just knew that'd make you laugh. I don't do shots. Nah, what's up? But somehow, I got it. And I remember when I was a kid, I was really young, and we went to, remember A&W Root Beer used to have a place, and you could do, my parents took me to A&W Root Beer, and I came back and told my Sunday school teacher the next day that my daddy drank beer, and because you get, in our church, you get fired for that, and sweet Jesus, I never said that again. Oh my God. I said, but you did. We were drinking beer last night. He said, no, buddy, that wasn't beer. That's root beer. And I'm like, God is so confusing. understand. But, you know, like in the legalistic churches, we had, like, it was a sin to wear rings, but a man could wear cufflinks. Or a woman could, you could pin a brooch on your dress. That was okay, but if you wore that same pendant on a chain, you get kicked out of the church. Just crazy stuff like that. When Buck Rambo used to talk about when the Rambos were still in the United Pentecostal Church, back in the day when Dottie Rambo would pile her hair up on top and have it coming down, it's because different parts of the country preached that women had to wear their hair up high and others preached that they had to wear it down. So she just had she found a way where they could keep all their gigs, keep everybody happy. But that's the insanity of legalism. That's why when people used to say, well, you know, you could lose your salvation, I would think, well, how? How would you do that? At what point, when is it God just say, okay, that's enough. I'm, you know, when is that? Well, I don't know, but it can happen. Well, when? When would it happen? If God's mercy endures forever, if God tells me through Jesus to forgive my enemy 70 times 7, but he's got a limit on his ability to forgive. Like, those are things that just don't make sense. And it's such liberty now to be able to keep the scriptures, but also challenge interpretations of it that are just silly. They're just silly now. That I think even the writers, I think Paul would be shocked to see the way women have been beaten up over a couple of things that he said that were really more about administrative issues. They were, you know, he wasn't telling. Well, maybe he was. I don't know, but I definitely don't think that's what God thought. Those are things that Paul thought in his time. So, what's amazing in this story? Y'all still with me? Peter actually gets religious on God. Peter says, "Nothing unclean like that will ever touch my lips," and God says to him, don't call unclean what I have called clean. Now, if you believe the scriptures, you're going to think, okay, you're sending me mixed signals because you did call that unclean. So what the Spirit of God is saying to him is, don't believe everything you read in the scriptures. Because basically what he's saying is, well, that's what Moses said about you not eating shrimp. That's not what I said. Oh, mind blown. So, after this sheet comes down out of heaven with all the stuff from Red Lobster and ribs, and Peter has a paradigm shift. And he says, well, apparently, I thought I understood what it meant that God's Spirit be poured out on all flesh, but maybe I need to walk in a little more light. So they go to Cornelius' house. And what's interesting, in other instances in the book of Acts, Peter would lay hands on people. He didn't at Cornelius' house. He just, you know, bigotry and racism, it gets in people's, it's in the fiber of their being. And they don't even know. I'm not saying you can't have your horizons broaden, but when separatism has been put into you, it gets into your DNA. When you start thinking, my group is better than your group, my skin is the right amount of melanin, yours isn't. Because really, even when we talk about black and white, we're not really black and white. We're all different shades on the same scale. We're all basically the same color. Just different amounts of melanin causes it to appear darker on some than others. But it's all, we're all. Now, I will say this. When I haven't been out in the sun all winter long, and the first, my legs are white. Not Caucasian. They're white. But this is what's interesting here about what happens in the book of Acts. This is verse 28 of the Passion Translation. It says, Peter said to them, "You all know that it is against the Jewish laws for me to associate with or even visit the home of one who is not a Jew." Can you imagine Peter walking in with his entourage saying, "This does not go any further than, like, none of you, this never happened. You know, I know God told me to love the Gentiles, but surely God's going to come to his senses." That's the way I used to feel when I used to hear that it was a sin to drink wine, but that Jesus' first miracle was turning the water into wine. And it used to just mess with my head. I'd be like, "Jesus, you need to get saved. Jesus is providing the booze for the party. Did you not know that you don't believe in this? Y'all pray for Jesus. Jesus is setting up the party." Yet God has shown me that I should never view anyone as inferior or ritually unclean. Which I'm sure if I was Cornelius, I'd be like, "Oh, thank you. Really, I'm not unclean." It's like, this is finally tapered off. But for a long time, I would get these messages every once in a while from somebody from my past who would say, "Hey, I just want you to know, I'm okay with the fact that you're gay." I'm like, "Okay, you've actually sent the same message to me twice in the last 8 years, but I think this is something you're having to work through because, well, I just want you to know, I just think it's okay." I'm like, "Is it?" I can live my life now because I was wondering if it was okay with you. Every day when I wake up, I'm like, "But is it okay with Sister So-and-so?" I mean, you know, you just have to. Let me tell you something. If you're going to walk in enlightenment, you're going to have to get up on that high road, and you're going to have to blow off so much stuff. This way, if you saw me earlier this week, I wasn't going to say this, but now I'm going to say it. Earlier this week, if you saw me posting about how I can tell the meditation's working because I can scroll through the feed and I'm maintaining my composure, it's because I woke up Thursday morning and someone who I had poured immense amounts of money into their ministry actually posted on there that after I abandoned them, they lost all their contacts in the United States. I thought, okay, don't get me started on money that you've stolen from me that I let go. As recently, we're not sure it's them, but as recently as this week, somebody hacked into, that we're pretty sure was connected to this ministry, hacked into Avery's email and writes our CPA and says, as Avery, and says, "Bishop said to send $23,000, which we didn't even have that much in the bank, to so-and-so, and I'm pretty sure it's them. And I thought, and I've got most of y'all are friends with the same person. I don't even think it's him. I think it's his brother-in-law, because it doesn't sound like this pastor would ever publicly say I abandoned him, because he knows good and well that ain't true. And this is the thing, I know. Don't you love the ministry? These are the parts of the ministry nobody ever sees. I thought, seriously? And I just looked at it and I thought, well, I don't think it's him. I think it's his brother-in-law who has posed, he's posed other times with lies and we've sent money to him. And let's just say, if somebody says they're from a country in Africa and they're wanting money, be sure it's who they say they are. Oh, did I just get too real? Yeah. What I'm saying is I just thought, well, you know what? I'm not going to get into it. I could get on Facebook here and just go at him and expose him. Because not only did I not cut you off from people, I gave you all kind of contacts that you're still getting money from. Don't even go there. But I'm telling you, I looked at it. I blocked him, and then I went, am I upset about this? And I thought, no. Anybody who knows me knows I would never abandon anybody. Anybody who knows how much I've given to foreign countries would know that's not even sound like me. So if it's something that's so ludicrous, you don't even have to defend it, then I'm not going to defend it. And I took a couple of cleansing breaths, and then I started posting happy pictures of it. And I thought, wow, I've come a long way, baby. Because there was a time I'd have laid awake two nights in a row. I'd have been calling, get him on the phone. How dare you get on the World Wide Web after you know the thousands of dollars I have given to you? And how are you going to come up on my page and say, and you know, and I just thought, and this, let me tell you how advanced I am. I thought, even if it was him, he's in a third world nation. He's desperate. I mean, crazy as it sounds, I felt compassion for him. I thought, if you did say this, who am I? I'm feeling compassion. Usually, I'd be like, oh, you're going to be dead in about 48 hours. You've blown it now. But then I thought, oh, you know, I hope that wasn't him. And we'll watch the email. Fortunately, the amount they asked for would have bounced. So, it's just the fact that somebody could do it. And you know, and like, that's some crazy stuff. And I started to post something about, don't believe everything you read. And I thought, no, you know what? At this point, people either know who you are or they don't. And let me tell you something about, if somebody's got an issue with you, if they're really ticked off at you, the more you try to explain yourself, the madder it makes them. So you just have to say, you know what? You either know me or you don't. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Because if I have to defend that to you, you clearly have never known me anyway. So you're not even, it doesn't even, I'm not saying you don't matter, but it doesn't matter. And if that's what you think, let me tell you, eventually the truth always comes out. So let me show you this. I love this verse 44 and 45. This is while he's speaking, it says the Holy Spirit descends on them and they start speaking in tongues and prophesying. And the Jews are shocked because they don't think the Gentiles can do that. So it says, while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit cascaded over all those listening to his message. The Jewish brothers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on people who weren't Jews. Excuse me, you just said, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel, that he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. Well, we didn't mean all flesh. All didn't mean all. Isn't this amazing that Peter has the revelation, but it takes a while for his thinking to get caught up with his revelation? I understand this. Not so much now, because pretty much the eclipse has happened where spirit, soul, and body, I'm unified now. But there was a time when, and it cost me. I mean, it cost me a megachurch. But when revelation would start coming to me, I would think, I know this is God speaking this to me, but this is so contrary to everything I've been taught. I mean, I can remember like before I'd walk out on the stage, I'd say, God, are you sure it's okay for me to say this? Because it seems, wow. But I know your voice, but man, this doesn't sound like you. And I'm sure that's what Peter felt like when God says, don't call unclean what I've called clean. When you've grown up hearing God calling everything just about unclean. Because, buddy, the church I grew up in, we took in members every Sunday. And the people would come stand up there in the front, and my dad would read a litany of things that we believed in and didn't believe in, and some of them weren't even in the Bible. We even threw in some extra things. We do not believe in the joining of secret lodges and all kind of stuff. But you can't believe the stuff that people had to agree to just to join our little church of God. If I'd been up there and somebody made me swear to that much stuff, I'd be like, this is too hard. This ain't worth it. Bye. Like, I can't. I don't know if I can answer all this. I mean, I'm having a hard enough time with the Bible stuff, but y'all added extra scriptural stuff that you just didn't like? All right, let me wrap this up. It says, for they heard them speaking in supernaturally given languages and passionately praising God. In the Living Bible, it says, they were shocked, but there could be no doubt about it because they heard them speaking in tongues. I just picture Peter walking up, looking at somebody. What? How is that possible? Do you even know what the Ten Commandments are? And this was an issue with the early church, because remember over when you get to chapter 15, remember they had this big conference in Jerusalem because they didn't think non-Jewish people could come right into Christ. Remember they got together and they said, well, we can't. They're going to have to become Jews first and then Christians. And that's when they decided, you know, because it was a big deal. Should we, I keep wanting to call it circumstance, circumcise non-Jewish men? Because they were taught circumcision is the way to salvation. And now, you know, that didn't matter. Well, you know, to all the men that were surgically altered, it might have mattered a little bit. Like, now you say it doesn't matter? That's great, you got the revelation now. I'm going to quote Yoda here at the end, because this is what I want to leave you with. It's just simply this. I'm not going to try to do it in his voice. For my ally is the Force, and a powerful ally it is. The reason I want to end with this, after everything I've said, the book of Acts, all that stuff, the bottom line is the Holy Spirit is good. What did they say they heard on the day of Pentecost? We hear them speaking what? The wonderful works of God. Those 120 people, when they came out of the upper room, not one of them said, if you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? No, they were just like, oh, God is so good. John comes along in his epistle and he says, everyone that loves is born of God. What? Jesus says to the woman who's a prostitute, her sins are forgiven because she loved much. I mean, that's a whole new way of thinking. What did Chandra open up with today about love? Love is what matters. Love is what's important. Because it is. That is the gospel. I may talk about this some more next month, but for right now I'm going to put a comma here and I'm going to say, the Force is with you. The Spirit is available to you at all times. I do believe there's something to being filled with the Spirit. And I don't think it's a one-time experience. Now, I might use the phrase raising my vibration, but I'm talking about the same thing. There's times when you just feel with the Spirit and you just know, this is Holy Ghost. I just know I'm walking in the Spirit. I know this is the right thing. When you know, I believe in those gifts of the Spirit. I know when you know that you know that you know it's the right thing for you. It doesn't matter what somebody else says to you. You just got it. You got that inward witness. I just know that I know this is the right thing for me. See, the more comfortable you become with the Holy Spirit, the more comfortable you come with yourself. And you know that if the Spirit is poured out on all flesh, that means all flesh is okay with God. Oh, no, sheep and goats. The sheep and goats in you. There's not going to be one group of sheep, another group of goats. Sometimes you're a little bit goatish. And that part of you needs to be done away with. Jesus said, two men will be laying in a bed, one will be taken, one will be left behind. He wasn't talking about a rapture. It's the same man. The person that, when I looked at that lie that was told about me on Facebook this week and I didn't respond to it, I thought, well, the other guy's gone. Because the guy that's here is just like, it's all good. We were even talking about, I don't know that I'm going to go back to Uganda, because a couple times lately they've killed gay people with hammers. They beat them to death with hammers. So I'm thinking, might not, kind of don't feel like a bunch of Ugandans beating me to death. I don't know. Call me crazy. But we could send some money. We could do something. I thought, I might do that. I love that country. And you know, you were there with us. Those amazing things that happened there, I will not let some stupid thing I saw on Facebook sully the memory of that, because that was beautiful, and that was Holy Spirit. And I even will say something good will come out of this thing. But you can tell when a part of you has been removed, because the stuff that a year ago would have just freaked you out, now you're like, it'll work out. And that's just maturity. No, it's something more than maturity. It's walking in the Spirit. The Force is with you. you get anything out of this? Let's all stand. I really love all of you, and I really appreciate when you come. It means a lot to me. And it's just good. And I don't want to, I speak a blessing on Uganda and on that pastor and even on his brother-in-law. You know, like, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I want to be at peace with all people. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed and brought in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. One thing that happens, the more you walk in the Spirit, the more loving you become. It just comes with the territory. The less judgmental you become, you find out, I don't have to have an opinion about everybody. You know, I can let people work out their own salvation. Good stuff. Please remain standing, and we'll do this for the YouTube audience, and then I'm going to speak a blessing over you.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form, and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the Support tab, then My Online Donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you're making a check, make it to JESM, and it'll be received back there. If you have cash, pay it forward. You might want to bless Chandra. Remember her two consecutive nights you're doing at Velvet Note? 28th and 29th. If you haven't gotten your room yet, listen, go ahead and get a room for Cherokee, and because you could still cancel it for some reason, but I'd rather you get it locked in and have it. And they got free cancellation, so go ahead and get it. It's going to be really, really good. Steven's coming back, and we're gonna have a great time. You are filled with the Spirit. You have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is on your life. Blessing is on you. Favor is on you. You're going to have a beautiful week. The light of God shines all around you. You're going to make good decisions this week. Good things are coming to you. Blessing and prosperity and success and peace of mind and every good and perfect gift from the Father of lights is coming to you, the Father of lights with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. You're safe when you drive on the expressway. You're safe in your home. No plague comes anywhere near your dwelling. You have favor with God and man. And you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I love you so much. The force is with you.